Today on Real Radio.
What's pathetic about our culture is, you've mentioned the word spanking a child, or God disciplining the nation, and our culture is so sick and so perverted that we think it's out of control abuse. Well, how come? Because people fly off the handle. They have no self-control. They're yelling at their kids. They're whacking them. That is abuse. Freaking out. And that's just how Israel was. Out of control. America's out of control.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 20. Remember, we're told more than once in this historical narrative that in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And this chapter demonstrates this once again. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study series called What Happens When We Listen to Us.
Judah was always commanded to go first into battle. Judah, which is cool because they're the worshipers. Send the worship team in first. And the bombs bursting in there. Worship team, go. The worship team went in. God wants worship to go into battle first. Isn't that wild? Isn't that awesome? They knew the answer, but they're so far from the Bible. They're so far from the Word of God. They're not consulting God. But they say, hey, God, which one do we send in first? The Lord simply responds according to what he had already said in the Word of God in the Bible. God says, Judah goes first. If you're going to go to battle, church, listen, Judah goes first. God's telling the truth. Be careful what you ask God and how you ask him. So, verse 19, the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. Now, these are, quote, the guys with the white hats, the big white cowboy hats, going, and there's 11 of them, 11 tribes, going against the guys or the tribe of Benjamin with the black hat. The good guys are going to go against the bad guy. And don't you think the good guys will win? Well, maybe. Depends on how you ask God and where you're living and how you're living. So the children of Israel rose in the morning and camped against Gibeah, verse 20, and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Verse 21, then the children of Benjamin came out, the bad guys, they all got black hats on, came out of Gibeah, and on that day they cut down to the ground 22,000 men of Israel, of the 11 tribes. 22,000 guys were killed. The black guy, the black hats, black capes, black masks, killed 22,000 of the good guys. Verse 22 says, and the people, that is the men of Israel, encouraged themselves. The word in Hebrew means they cheered each other up. Not a good thing. Man, we just lost 22,000 guys. You want to go at it again? Want to take those guys on again? Yeah, come on, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I know you can do it. Okay, you ready? Let's go do it. They encouraged themselves. They should have fell on their face and said, God, help us. No, they said, come on, buddy. I know we just lost 22,000 guys, but we can do it. Those other guys, they're a bunch of losers. And again, they formed battle lines, and at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Repeat, verse 23, then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening. Sounds good. All sounds good. And asked counsel of the Lord. They're getting closer. Saying, shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? Okay, first request in prayer. Hey, we got a plan, God. It's a good plan. It's our plan. There's a way that seems right to a man, and we know that that way ends in death. But we've got a plan. So God, bless our plan. You ever have a plan and you ask God to bless it? Not good. Best to get the plan from God and let him bless it, because he's invested in it. So they lose all these thousands and thousands of guys. Second attempt is, now they're crying because they lost all these other guys. In the second formation of battle, oh, they're crying out to God. So they're getting closer. They're not there yet. Watch what happens. And this is a lesson to us about how we approach the Lord. And the Lord said, go up against them. You guys, they're already ready to go to battle, even though now they're crying. They're marching off to war and they're crying. They already have a heart to go to war. They're going to go do it. God is not leading them astray. He's giving them what they're asking for. They want this. The Bible says, watch out, what we pray about, what we seek after, because we can get that thing and he'll allow leanness or apathy to enter into our hearts. Church, listen, this is very critical. The children of Israel, remember they came out of Israel? I mean, they came out of Egypt and they started complaining about the manna bread. Remember manna every day. We have manna food, every manna pizza, manna cotti, manna everything, manna banana. And they start complaining about the manna. And it was angel food coming down from heaven. And so God says, you know, get out of the way. I'll cause a wind to blow, and I'll just blow millions of quail. They'll come flying right across at chest level. Take a stick, get them. So these people are just whacking all these quail and having quail and manna tacos. And it says God gave them what they requested of him, but he sent leanness into their souls. That's terrifying. Oh, we got to have that house. Oh, we just got to have that thing. And we scheme, we connive, we work 50 hours in a day to get that thing. And then we slap a Christian thing on. Oh, look what God gave us. Isn't that great? How do you know God gave it to you? You worked your tail off. And now you got to work your tail off to keep it. And there's been no peace ever since you got the thing. It's parked right there, or it's, look at that thing. You're going to hate it. Be careful. We have to be careful what we ask for. And so, shall we go up? And God says, go up. Verse 24, so the children of Israel approached the children of Benjamin on the second day, and Benjamin went out against them from Gibeah on the second day and cut down 18,000 of their men. Again, oh man. All these drew the sword. Can you imagine? Mark verse 26. Then all the children of Israel, that is, all the people went up, watch, and came to the house of God and wept. So they did that before. They sat before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. See anything different? Are you guys with me? Or are you sleeping? Are you with me? First, they're going to tell God what to do. Second of all, they kind of ask. Third, they got it. We don't go before him without truly rending our hearts. We sit before him and wait to get the message from him, the leadership from him. And we don't come empty-handed. We make an offering to the Lord of sacrifice. Lord, we're wrong. I mean, we're the guys with the white hats trying to make all this stuff right, but we're not consulting you. Sometimes I think we have that same ailment. Move over. I'm a Christian. Move over. What seems to be the case? Watch out. So they sat before the Lord. They fasted. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. I'm starting to smell a little bit of an awakening taking place. Verse 27, so the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, that is, that the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. And look at verse 28. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days. Now they're going about it the right way. Saying, and this is the priest speaks now, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? Nice, perfect. That's the way you ought to. Lord, what do you want me to do? Go forward or sit down? Just tell me what. Boy, big change, huh? From the first prayer. And the Lord said, watch it, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. Wow. Now that's the answer they wanted about 40,000 guys earlier. Say please. Verse 29, then Israel set men in ambush all around Gibeah. So now the tribes have got the tribe of Benjamin surrounded. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in battle array against Gibeah as it was at other times. So the children of Benjamin went out against the people and they were drawn away from the city. Now the Benjamites were all totally pumped up. They're going to say, this is great. We'll mop these guys up today. So they're all excited. So they run out, leaving their city, fortress. They run out after the tribes of Israel. And listen, you probably would have done the same thing, because the last two engagements, you just slew the other guys. So let's just get this over with on the third day. But watch what happens. They began to strike down and kill some of the people, as at other times in the highways, and one of which goes to Bethel, and the other Gibeah, and in the field about 30 men of Israel. Verse 32, and the children of Benjamin said, they are defeated before us as at the first. Repeat, this is great, keep going. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them away from the city to the highways. Verse 33, so all the men of Israel rose from their place and put themselves in battle array at Bethel Tamar. Then Israel's men in ambush burst forth there from their positions in the plain. And we'll fast forward because of time. What happens is, watch my hands. You got to watch my hands. The tribes are surrounding Gibeah. Benjamin is there. They're assuming a victory because of the last 2 days. They run out. They're drawn away. As Israel begins to retreat, it's a trap. They follow Israel. And as they leave the city, Gibeah, the flanks move in, right, and encircle them, and some warriors go into the city. They begin to burn and destroy all those within the city. The city's on fire. Now watch, you're the tribe of Benjamin. You're protecting all the bad guys who are in the city. God's judgment comes in one form or another in time. As they go forward, Israel begins to turn now and engage them. As the tribe of Benjamin turns around to head back home, they see their city ablaze. That's exactly what sin does. The Bible warns us and says, can a man take a burning coal to his chest and embrace it without being burned? Can you embrace that woman who's not your wife and not get burned? You're going to get burned. Can you dabble in that thing as a believer and not get burned? Oh, you'll get burned. She will have a lot of people I know didn't get burned. They're probably not Christians. They don't belong to God, but maybe you do. And the Lord, He loves us. He loves His kids. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that God spanks His kids who are disobedient because He loves them. You know that. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you ever gotten a spank from your mom or your dad? Preferably from your moms are not made to spank. I feel my heart goes out to moms who've been abandoned by the father. And the mom's got to play both roles. God never intended a mom. She can do it. She has to do it, but it breaks her heart. Dads are kind of made to discipline. We just walk in, what are you doing? Nothing. All right. I mean, we're guys, we're dads, and it's just, you know, women, you guys are amazing. Women, you guys have problems, you talk it over. Guys are much more efficient. Guys will get in a fist fight with their best friend, blood. Man, you knocked my tooth out. Well, man, you shouldn't have said that. All right. Come on, let's go get a burger. Guys are funny. Guys are just different. girls, they sit down hours and hours and talking, and then there's gift giving back and forth for weeks after that. Guys just, what? Oh. But God disciplines those he loves. A father, I have never walked up to somebody else's kids and slapped them. I've never done it. The kid can be doing all this mayhem. Not my kid. You don't go around disciplining other people's kids because you don't love those kids. You say, hey, Mike, is this your kid? Look at you, he's burning the cat. Do something, poor cat. But if it's your kid, because you love your kid, you set him up there, you say, listen, I love you. I told you not to do that. And you go back to your room. Daddy's going to come back there and discipline you. And that's, let me tell you something. Young parents, listen up loud and clear. You don't want to spend your life spanking your kids. And they don't want to do it, and you definitely don't want to do it. You know that stuff? Oh, it's going to hurt me. Much more is going to hurt you. I thought, who made that stupid statement up? Until you have a kid. You never want to spank your kid. But you know what? The Bible says a child left to themselves brings reproach to their mother. And so, listen, you want to make it easy? And you got to be consistent. You take your kid and you say, listen, what did you do wrong?
I burnt the cat.
Okay. What should daddy do? And they know. Kids are amazing. Kids will say,
spank me.
They'll never say,
buy me a toy.
They know it. Their hearts are tender. They'll say, spank me. And then you say, listen, I'm going to come back there and I'm going to spank you for doing what you did. I'll be there in a moment. Go back to your room. Let me tell you something. The moment they leave your presence and go back to their room, 95% of your disciplinary action has been accomplished. Go back and listen. Don't let them sit there too long because that's torture. Seriously. But let them go back there. And a little kid, you know, 1 minute is like eternity for a kid. Wait 5 minutes, and here's what happens. Mark my words. You can have either a very, very strong-willed child or not. This works across the board. When you walk into the room, you say, now, Daddy's going to discipline you now for what you did today. The strong-willed child, the one that just goes, all right. We've all had one of those. Versus the other one that she's already crying. I'm so sorry. And you'll hear things like this. I love you, Daddy. I love you too, sweetie. I love you too. But 95% of it's over. And listen, it's like this. And they're crushed. They're convicted. And the discipline comes. And you know it's amazing because sometimes you have to bite your lip because you just want to laugh because you wouldn't have even killed a mosquito, but to them it was like, oh, it's a towel! And they're crying, and then they crawl right up on you, and you kiss them, and it's wonderful, and I love you. I love you too, sweetie. Come on, let's go outside. Let's go play, whatever it is. Psychologists have found that is the greatest release for a child's mental stability, that when they've done wrong and it's rectified and it's lifted from their conscience, it's dealt with, they're free. What's pathetic about our culture is, you mentioned the word spanking a child or God disciplining the nation, and our culture is so sick and so perverted that we think it's out of control abuse. Well, how come? Because people fly off the handle. They have no self-control. They're yelling at their kids. They're whacking them. That is abuse. Freaking out. And that's just how Israel was. Out of control. America's out of control. Americans are out of control. Because there's no place for God anymore. So the city's burning, the death and mayhem is so great. And verses 41 to 48, when Israel turned back, they saw that Benjamin was in a panic, the tribe of Benjamin. Civil war, remember, these are all Jews. They saw the disaster that had come upon them. Therefore, they turned their backs before the men of Israel in the direction of the wilderness. What happened is they chased them, verse 43. You guys, out of all these thousands of Benjamites, only 600 men are left. The women are dead. They perished in the city. The kids are dead. The animals are dead. The city's leveled. They brought this on themselves. Brother killing brother, where there's no God in the factor. It's so very, very sad. And what happens is, verse 47 says, about 600 of the men fled toward the wilderness. They took shelter in that area for about 4 months. Verse 48, and the men of Israel turned back against, now listen to this, turned back against the children of Benjamin and struck them down with the edge of the sword from every city, men, beast, all who were found. They also set fire to all the cities they came to in the tribe region of Benjamin. Conclusion is this. When we do not listen to God, we take things in our own hands. We listen to ourselves, we devise a plan, and then we ask God to bless it. And I fear tonight in our lives how sometimes we might have gotten an idea, quick, let's do this, assuming God's in it. Let's go! God wants to hear from us. And it's easy for us to look back and say, wow, what a messed up. I didn't know Israel was so messed up. When we think of our own country and what God, by order of this book, God has to deal with America. There's only one thing that can happen according to the Bible, and that is it for the judgment to be prolonged. Trust me, tonight, you want God's judgment prolonged, kept back. It has to come, or else God is not God. It has to come, or else this is not a Bible. He says you do this, and you don't repent of it. I'm going to do that. The only hope for America is you and I, and the Christians in America, to pray for this country.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Happens When We Listen to Us. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapter 20 of the Old Testament book of Judges, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are beginning to near the end of this Old Testament narrative, which really speaks of the volatility of the nation of Israel, and quite obviously, there are many parallels to today's society in which we live. Well, now we're offering Pastor Jack's series of the Book of Judges all on one convenient MP3 CD. And here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send it your way. Just be sure and mention the Book of Judges on MP3 CD, whether you call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org. And once you're there, you'll know where to click. Realradioactive.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.